Enjoy each moment of every day and always be present. That is the secret to living a wonderful life. Be present. Yes, we have the fears of the future. It is continually before us. We have the pains and problems of our past, and that is continually behind us. But we cannot and should not forget about the present. We must be present and focus on doing everything we can do presently to be in the moment. Each minute is a miracle. Each day is a divine gift from God. Every single second we have should be a sacred second, and we should treat it as such. Thank you for listening to Music, Motivation, and More, the Positivity Podcast. I am your host, Gerald Simon. I'm an author, poet, and composer. I am the founder of Music Motivation and the creator of How to Play Piano, The Fun Way, featuring Essential Piano Lessons and my best-selling Essential Piano Exercises series and course. Today's podcast is titled, How to Have a Wonderful Life. And I would like to give you a summary about the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life. Now, It's a Wonderful Life stars James Stewart, Jimmy Stewart, and Donna Reed and Lionel Barrymore. It was directed by Frank Capra, and it is a wonderful Christmas classic. Everyone should watch and rewatch this wonderful movie because it is a wonderful life. My wife and I and our children just watched It's a Wonderful Life yesterday, and I cried all throughout. I always do, as did my wife, and I know our children looked at us and wondered what was happening, and our daughter came and hugged me when I was crying at one point, and it was wonderful. But I'd like to talk about how It's a Wonderful Life, the movie, relates to each of us, and how we can and should have a wonderful life, because we deserve a wonderful life, each of us. We deserve to have a wonderful life, and I'm going to explain a little bit about what we can do to have a wonderful life. To start off with, I would like to read the positive perceptions for this podcast, which is from my book, Perceptions, Parables, and Pointers. It is found on page 45, and this is what it says. You and I were born with an amazing gift. This gift gives us an unlimited capacity for power, wealth, intelligence, freedom, strength, spirituality, love, and success. Even though we have this unlimited power within our reach, we often do not realize the possibilities of this power or our own potential. This gift is desirable only if we want it. It's ours, and we need this gift more than we know. Without air to breathe, our lungs would collapse and we would die. Without this gift, the gift of self-control, we cannot progress, improve, or accomplish all we want to accomplish. When we learn to control ourselves, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our attitudes, our desires, and our strengths and weaknesses, we improve. Now that's found on page 45 from my book, Perceptions, Parables, and Pointers. That was a book that I published several years ago, actually back in 2017. I wrote it back in 2015 or 2016. But I want to relate that paragraph that I took from the book, Perceptions, Parables, and Pointers, with It's a Wonderful Life here in a few minutes. For the motivation in a minute portion of this podcast, I'd like to read a quote found in the back of my book, Perceptions, Parables, and Pointers. The book features my own perceptions, parables, and pointers on life for the first half of the book, and the last portion of the book, I have 222 of my favorite motivational quotes and sayings from some of the most amazing men and women throughout history. This is found on page 191 from my book, and it's a quote by Edward E. Hale. He said the following, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do." It's a powerful quote. I am only one, but I am one. It gives you something to think about. Now, the reason why I wanted to read that quote is because I want to jump back into It's a Wonderful Life and talk about the importance of using our self-control, creating the lifestyle we would like to lead and live, and also the kind of difference that only one life can make, and the impact they can have on lives. I have a few quotes I'd like to read from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I don't want to give everything away and completely ruin the movie if you haven't seen the movie yet, but I encourage you, please, go watch the film, It's a Wonderful Life. It will completely change your perspective on life. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to please go and watch it. I'll give you a brief summary of the movie, and I will give away a little. Essentially, It's a Wonderful Life is about a man named George Bailey. Now, this is played by James Stewart. And George Bailey initially knows what he wants out of life. He knows everything he wants to accomplish, everything he hopes to do and be and become. He has these dreams of the kind of life he'd like to live. He wants to have a wonderful life. At one point, he says, "I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next year and the year after that." He has everything worked out in his mind. He's excited about life. But then, life happens, as it often does. Now, how the movie begins is that the movie portrays God speaking with one of his senior angels. They are talking about how they need to send an angel down to help George Bailey, because George Bailey is struggling. He's had trials and difficulties, and he needs divine intervention. He needs angelic assistance. And so Clarence is an angel who is sent down to help George Bailey. Now, as the senior angel says, Clarence isn't very bright. But then God remarks that Clarence has the faith of a child. And so they decide to send Clarence down to be George Bailey's angelic assistance, his divine intervention. Now, the senior angel says, "A man down on earth needs our help." And Clarence responds and says, "Splendid, is he sick?" The senior angel says, "No, worse, he's discouraged." And I want you to think about that for just a moment. No, worse, he's discouraged. Discouragement is far more deadly than any disease or sickness. You can be sick temporarily, and you can heal and get over it. Even if you have a disease that will be with you for the rest of your life, even if it is debilitating, even if it is deadly, and it takes your life, if you can still be positive, if you can still be cheerful, if you can smile through the tears, if you can still instill hope in those around you, if you can share your peace and positivity, then that enables you to overcome whatever disease may inflict you. We all experience pain and have problems and sorrows. But when you are discouraged, that is far more destructive, because that discouragement, it destroys your soul. And when your soul is sick, that is when you are at your weakest. Again, I don't want to give away too much of the show, but I will give away a bit, because I need to explain what happens. George Bailey wants to be wealthy. He wants to take all of these expensive, elaborate trips around the world to see the wonders of the world. He wants to be well-to-do, to be wealthy. And what you see is, as he gets married, as he has children, He is serving and helping people, but he doesn't become wealthy in the process of doing it. He has a trip planned after he and his wife Mary are married, and then he has to use all of their savings that they have saved up for this trip to help bless the lives of those who are struggling. Interestingly enough, all throughout the entire movie, his wife Mary, in many ways, is the hero, or she's the one who comes to the rescue time and time again. Mary is not consumed with having an expensive home. They even purchase a home that is a fixer-upper, and the home needs a lot of work. And Mary's the one doing all of the repairs on the home and fixing it up. But not only is she doing that and going to work, she is teaching her children. She's a comfort and strength to her husband. In the end, Mary is the one who goes around and asks the entire town, all of the people, their friends and neighbors, and even strangers, if they would be willing to help George, who is struggling. So I want to read some of these quotes from the movie because it will help you have a better understanding and perspective on what it takes to have a wonderful life. I told you at one point, George is struggling because he's wanting to have all the good things that life has to offer, and there's a character in the movie, Mr. Potter, who is well-to-do. He owns essentially the entire town, and he has done everything he could to amass his fortunes, often at the expense of others. He's a shrewd businessman. He doesn't care if it means destroying others and their lives and livelihoods and families. For Potter, his entire focus is on the almighty dollar. And he does everything he can, even at the expense of family and friends and the community. At one point, George Bailey goes to Potter, and Potter, at one point in the movie, is trying to bribe George to sell him his company, his father's company that George Bailey then took over. And so this is an interesting quote. George Bailey is thinking about doing it, but then George Bailey realizes that he shouldn't go through with this. And then he says this to Potter. You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing but a scurvy little spider. George Bailey was tempted, but then George Bailey knows that if he sides with Potter and sells the Bailey building and loan to Potter, that it will be bad for the community and for those people that George has spent his life helping. Now, I'd like to read a few quotes from Clarence. And again, I don't want to give away the movie, but George Bailey, at one point in the movie, loses everything. And there's going to be a warrant out for his arrest. And he's thinking about how he's going to lose the home, and he's going to lose everything, and he's thinking about all of these worldly possessions. And at times he's even unkind to his wife and to his children, and he's not thinking correctly. And he's about ready to jump off of a bridge, even commit suicide, because he's not thinking clearly. And so Clarence, his guardian angel, knows that if Clarence can then jump in the water before George does, it will stop George from jumping in the water. And Clarence does that. And then what happens is, George Bailey says it would have been better for him if he had never been born. And it's a terrible thought to even think about, but he says that life would have been better for him if he had never been born. And sometimes when we are in our darkest and most dreary and debilitating abysses, we have these terrible thoughts where we are thinking how life would be better off if we could do this or could do that, or if we had done this or had done that or had not done this. And what happens is we lose focus about what truly matters most in life. We need to see with eternal eyes and focus on the things of eternity, what truly is most important, family and friends, values and morals. We need to change our perspective, and that in turn will then change the thoughts we think, the words we speak, the deeds we do, the actions we perform. We must change everything, and it helps when we can see with eternal eyes. And Clarence, George Bailey's guardian angel, then has an idea, because George Bailey says that it would have been better if he had never been born. And so Clarence says that's a wonderful idea, and that would help George really understand and see what a wonderful life he actually had. So Clarence says, I think that will work. I think that will help do the trick. And he says to George Bailey, you've got your wish. You've never been born. And then George Bailey is allowed to see what the world would have been like had he never been born. So I'd like to read a few of these quotes from Clarence. Clarence says the following, you've been given a great gift, George, a chance to see what the world would be like without you. Now George goes about and he goes all over town and he sees a completely different community. The town looks different. The people are different. At one point, George Bailey finds out that his younger brother, Harry, who had been a war hero, died. And George Bailey says to Clarence, that's a lie. Harry, who had been a war hero, and he saved the life of every man who was aboard a ship. George Bailey, again, is still thinking that he had been born and that life was as normal as it had been. And Clarence says, you weren't there to save your brother. He died. He fell in the ice. You didn't save him that day. And as a result, every man on that convoy died because Harry wasn't there to save them. Clarence says the following, strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives, and when he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he? Clarence also says, you've been given a great gift, George, a chance to see what the world would be like without you. Now, I want you to think about that. What would the world be like without you? We must do everything we can to help serve those around us, to enhance their life, to help them have a wonderful life, and that, in turn, will help us have a wonderful life. I want to read a few quotes from George Bailey now. After George Bailey has seen what his life would have been like had he never been born, he says, I want to live again. He's pleading, I want to live again. And he says, Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way, show me the way. And again, I want to repeat, he said, I want to live again. How many of us are not living life fully? And we need to live again because we have stopped living our best life. We have stopped doing the very best we could do and should be doing. And right now, life for us is not as wonderful as it should be or could be because we're not living life. We need to live again. We need to change the way we see the world. Our perspective needs to improve. We need to learn how to see with eternal eyes. We need to go about sharing peace and positivity with the world around us, helping those who need our help. Even when we feel hopeless, we can still share hope with others. Even if we are faithless, we can increase our faith and we can overcome our fears and be fearless because we are faithful. We can have hope when we are hopeless. We can be positive even when we are surrounded by so much negativity. We can be illuminated and enlightened by the light even when we are overcome and engulfed by so much blackness and darkness. How do we have a wonderful life? It's by appreciating and understanding the gift of life we've been given. It's the greatest gift God has given us, that we can live each day, each minute, each second. We can do the very best we can with what we have, and we can go about doing good. We can strengthen those who are weak. We can help those who are struggling, those who are experiencing their own trials and tribulations, and we can bless them. We can help them. God doesn't make mistakes. God, our Heavenly Father, can help us learn to live again. Even as George Bailey, when he prayed and said, Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way, show me the way. Whether we believe in God or not, we can be shown a better way. Our Heavenly Father can help us. He can heal us. He can help us learn to be strong when we are weak. For the Music Within portion of this podcast, I'd like to have you listen to my song, A Season to Be Strong. This is a song I wrote back in high school, back in 1998, so it's been a few years. I wrote the lyrics and the music, and then when we recorded it, you'll hear my twin brother Josh Simon singing A Season to Be Strong. He sings the lead on the verses, and then I harmonize with him on the verses, and on the chorus, we both sing together. He does a wonderful job. I know I've shared this before, A Season to Be Strong, but I want you to listen to the words. We need a season to be strong, that we can be strengthened, and that in turn will then help us strengthen others. We need to do everything we can to help strengthen those around us. So I'd love to have you listen to A Season to Be Strong. For the Poetry That Motivates portion of this podcast, I'd like to read a poem I wrote titled, I Hear the Bells. This is found on page 99 in my book, Poetry That Motivates. My poetry books, Poetry That Motivates, The As If Principle, you can find those on Amazon.com or my website, musicmotivation.com. I have another website, poetrythatmotivates.com, where you can learn more about those poetry books. But I Hear the Bells is a poem I wrote, and it talks about bells that sweetly chime. Let me read this to you. I hear the bells. I hear the bells that sweetly chime of blessings past and love divine. I see the scenes of heavenly dreams, of noble hopes and upset schemes. I taste the nectar of sweetness divine and hear the bells that lovingly chime. Now, the reason why I wanted to read this particular poem, as we're talking about how to have a wonderful life, is because at the very end of It's a Wonderful Life, when George Bailey is restored back to the life he knew, and his family and friends come to help him, and George truly does become one of the richest men alive, because he is rich with friends, a bell rings. And as George Bailey is holding his daughter says, teacher says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. And George Bailey knows that Clarence, his guardian angel, has received his wings. And so I'd like to just read what was written in the book that Clarence had left as a gift for George. He said, "Remember, George, no man is a failure who has friends. No man is a failure who has friends." See, Clarence earlier had said, "You see, George, you really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?" And Clarence, when he had said, "You've been given a great gift, George, a chance to see what the world would be like without you," George Bailey was allowed and permitted to see that he really did have a wonderful life. He had been so focused on the things of mortality that he could not see the blessings of eternity. He was so focused on financial, monetary gain, on expensive homes and cars and trips, that he wasn't focusing on his family, his friends. And that is what we must do, is put our family and friends first. I'd like to give you 5 actionable steps to take starting today that you can use to have a wonderful life of your own. Step 1, first and foremost, watch It's a Wonderful Life. It will help you understand what is truly most important in your life. Now, Christmas time is a wonderful time to watch It's a Wonderful Life, but you can watch it at any point during the year. It doesn't need to solely be at Christmas time. You can watch it all throughout the year, and it's a wonderful, wonderful movie to view. So, first step is to watch It's a Wonderful Life. The second actionable step, when you feel discouraged, forget about your problems by serving and helping others. Forget about yourself. There was a quote that had been said, "Forget yourself and go to work." Gordon B. Hinckley, who was the former prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, when he was a young man, he went and served a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And when he was serving his mission, he was discouraged, disheartened. He was feeling completely distraught because he felt like a failure. He wrote home and said that he was wasting his time and wasting his money and felt like he was not doing anyone any good. He was feeling like a failure. And his father, in his wisdom, wrote back, and his father wrote this one simple sentence. He said, "Forget yourself and go to work." I want you to forget about your problems by serving and helping others. It is when we put the needs of others first, even if that means forsaking our wants and needs. We can give of our abundance, and that is wonderful. But when we give of our scarcity, when we give of our want and our need, that is miraculous. It's important to realize that when we are feeling down, when we are feeling depressed, the best way to feel optimistic and positive is not to wallow around in our worry or to be fenced in by fear. It is not about doing everything we can to further pollute and poison ourselves and others with our own pessimism. The best thing we can do when we are depressed and we are experiencing trials of our own is to find out who we can serve and who we can help, who needs to be assisted. We can be earthly angels to help those who need our help. One of my favorite scriptures, I love reading all scriptures, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, or reading any scriptures from the Quran to the Book of Mormon to Doctrine and Covenants. You name whatever scripture. I love reading uplifting, positive words of encouragement. And there is a scripture in the Book of Mormon, which is another testament of Jesus Christ, and it is found in one of the books called the Book of Mosiah, chapter 2, verse 17. It's one of my favorite scriptures because it says the following, "And behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God." I want you to think about that. When ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. That is the key. It is serving others around us, serving our family, our friends, our neighbors, even strangers we've never met. When we forget about our own problems and we serve and help others, it helps us have a better perspective and understanding about our problems. And often, we can then even be inspired and enlightened, and God can help us, either by sending others to us, other earthly angels who can then assist us and help us, and those who can be, as Clarence was, a guardian angel to strengthen us in our moments of weakness. Or we can then be enlightened and know how to help ourselves, that we can go and do our best to come up with the solutions for our own problems. And that is a blessing. It's a gift from God that we can serve others and help others. And in turn, we can be served by others. Step 3, pray to know who needs your help and pray for heavenly help. When we serve others, when we help others, we feel better about ourselves. That's not why we do it, but it naturally happens when we serve others. Pray to know who needs your help. Your mind will be enlightened and you will know which family member or friend or neighbor or stranger needs you at any given time. And you can pray for heavenly help as well. Step 4, enjoy each moment of every day and always be present. That is the secret to living a wonderful life. Be present. Yes, we have the fears of the future. It is continually before us. We have the pains and problems of our past, and that is continually behind us. But we cannot and should not forget about the present. We must be present and focus on doing everything we can do presently to be in the moment. Each minute is a miracle. Each day is a divine gift from God. Every single second we have should be a sacred second, and we should treat it as such because we must focus on being present with our family and friends and doing everything we can. This moment before us will never come back. Step 5. Think of the wonderful life you'd like to have. Think of the wonderful life you want to live, and then create it. You can create it from the end, starting at the end and working your way backwards to the beginning. Often we will go to a funeral and we will hear family and loved ones speak about their deceased family member, telling us everything that individual accomplished, who they were, hearing sacred stories about the kind of women and men these great individuals had become over an entire lifetime. But we don't need to wait for that to happen today. You can envision, and I would have you take a few moments today, write down a few paragraphs or a few pages or even hundreds of pages of the kind of individual you would like to be. Think of the languages you would like to learn, the destinations and trips you would like to take. Think of the characteristics and qualities, virtues and values you would like to espouse, the attributes and characteristics you would like to learn about and become. Think about everything you would like to learn how to do. Yes, you can think of them as goals, but I want you to think of them as if you had already done them. And once you've created this ideal lifestyle of who you have become, then you start being that person today. Become the person you were born to be by being that person right now. You need to do everything you can to live again. You may have had experiences where you knew what you were going to do today and tomorrow and the next day and the next year and the year after that, and you knew what was going to happen and how life was going to be. And then life happened and things didn't turn out exactly the way you envisioned or hoped they would, and you stopped living. You need to live again. You must live again. Even if you're not a praying man or woman, you can look heavenward, and you can know that when you pray and say, show me the way, you will be shown a better way of doing things, a better way of living. You will be given a greater understanding. Your perspective will change. Your mind will be enlightened. You will have opportunities presented to you, and you will be given experiences that will change you. Don't get discouraged. Don't allow yourself to stop living life. Remember, no man is a failure who has friends. You really do have a wonderful life. And it's a mistake to throw it away or stop living because you've been given a great gift. It's the greatest gift that anyone has ever been given. You've been given a chance, an opportunity to see the world that you would like to create. And you know what the world would be like without you. You've been given an opportunity to see who you would like to be and become. And you need to be that individual. You need to become that individual. Even when you feel hopeless, never give up on hope. Even when you feel discouraged, disheartened, and you feel as if whatever little bit of divinity you had within you has been completely destroyed, do not give up on the divinity within you. You can always pray for more strength. You can have a resolve to do better, to be better. It's part of life that we can become better today than we were yesterday. Don't sit around spinning your little webs of worry, thinking that the world revolves around you and your money, because it doesn't. Everything you do can be done with the heightened awareness. You can improve your perspective and see with eternal eyes and know that you have been given the greatest gift God could have given you, the opportunity to have a wonderful life. Do your best in everything you do. You will be strengthened. You will see miracles within your life. Know that this is a season to be strong, to strengthen others, to help others, because you can have a wonderful life, and you can help those around you have a wonderful life as well. It's all in what you choose to do, and it changes your perspective, and it changes the thoughts you think and the words you speak. It changes the deeds you do. It completely revolutionizes the life you live, because you now know how to have a wonderful life. And that is what you should focus on. Helping others. Serving. Going about doing good. And being the best version of yourself. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for listening. Tune into my podcast every Monday as I come out with a new motivational message to help you have a wonderful week. I'd love to have you check out my website, musicmotivation.com. You can listen to my music on any streaming site. My music is available on Spotify and iTunes, Pandora, Amazon, iHeartRadio, any streaming site you choose to use. I'd love to have you listen to my music and read any of my poetry or motivational self-help books. Everything I do in life, I feel compelled to do, because I feel compelled to share peace and positivity. That has become a life mission for me, to share more peace and positivity with others. And I try to do that with my music and my writing. I'd love to have you learn more about my website, musicmotivation.com, and the music books that I create. You can also go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/GeraldSimon. Check it out, watch my videos. But please, I would love to have you share this podcast with anyone who needs a little more Motivation. This podcast is titled Music, Motivation, and More, the Positivity Podcast with Gerald Simon, and I have created this to help share more peace and positivity with others through my music and writing. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to Music, Motivation, and More, the Positivity Podcast, to receive updates of each new weekly podcast produced and released by Gerald Simon. A new podcast is recorded and released on Mondays. Listen on any podcast platform of your preference. But I'd love to have you listen to my music as well. You can listen to my music and find my artist name, Gerald Simon, J-E-R-A-L-D-S-I-M-O-N. You can listen on Spotify, on Pandora, Apple Music, Amazon, all the different streaming platforms. I would love to have you check out my YouTube channel. It is youtube.com/GeraldSimon. J-E-R-A-L-D-S-I-M-O-N. I have Motivation in a Minute and Poetry That Motivates videos that I have produced, in addition to my own music videos and music educational instructional tutorials that I've created to help teach music the fun way. I'd love to have you check it out. I'd love to connect with you on social media. You can connect with me on any social media platform. You can go to facebook.com/GeraldSimon. I'm also on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all the different social pages, at Gerald Simon, J-E-R-A-L-D-S-I-M-O-N. But I'd love to have you check out my music. Let me know what you think. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys have a great day.